We're going to be talking today. Isaiah, would you go get me some water, please? Thank you. We're going to be talking about today about with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. And we're going to actually be doing a little review of some history that's taken place here at the church. But before we do that, I just want to kind of, throughout history, as a matter of fact, throughout Israel's history, God had told Israel to keep a record of the things that I'm doing for you, I'm doing with you. Thank you, Isaiah. So that you can recount them to your children, and their children, and their children. We were in life group this morning and talking about Jacob and wrestling with the angel, and there was his hip was dislocated, and so all the rest of his life he was limping. The children of Israel, because of that, would not eat that part of the hip or leg joint or whatever it was. They wouldn't do that. And so I'm thinking, you know, so these kids are growing up and they say, Dad, why don't we eat that? And they get to recount the story of God's faithfulness to the children of Israel. And so we find in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9, it says, Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home, when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, when you're getting up. Tie them on your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So what God wanted to do is he wanted the Israelites to never, ever, ever forget what he had done for them. He wanted them to remember his precepts, his principles, his commands, his blessings, everything that God had done for them, he wanted them to remember. He commanded them to keep a record of all my dealings with you. Some of you keep journals. I encourage people to do that, although I'm not the very best at that myself. And the reason I encourage people to do that is because God is at work in your life and in the life of your family. And when he does something special for you, you need to record it, because there will come a time when your faith may be a little lacking and you say, man, I just need something to boost me today. And so you go back and you begin reading your journal and how God has worked in your life throughout the many years or the few years that you have been alive, and it will boost your faith. When the children of Israel were talking to their children about everything that God did for them, their faith was boosted, and those children followed the Lord, and their children followed the Lord, but there came a time when they forgot to tell about the mighty things that God had done, and they forgot their God, and they began serving other gods. Today, in our history of America, there was a time in our history books when they did not hide the fact that God worked in our nation. And he orchestrated a lot of things that took place in our nation. And I want to just say this while I'm here. I am so grateful that our president has defunded Planned Parenthood. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I'll let you know that if I knew President Trump, he probably wouldn't be my friend. Okay? His personality stinks. But there are some decisions that he makes that I believe is in line with what God would want. And this is one of those. If we were to look back in our country, we could see where God is. From the very beginning, how God has orchestrated a plan. And as long as we follow God, God will continue to bless us. When we forget God, He will withdraw His blessings from us. It's good to travel down memory lane if you've got some good memories. If you don't have good memories, maybe it's not so good. It's good to recognize the blessings that God has bestowed upon us. So let me just talk to you a little bit about what God has done in this congregation since I came here almost 26 years ago. I was trying to count last night. I think we had 10 to 12 adults here when I came. And that was a move of faith. My wife and I moved out here from forget where we were living at the time. We were living in Louisiana at the time. And we came out here, and God began to work in our lives. And let me just tell you kind of where I came from. The church I was in Louisiana, we didn't get along so well. And they told me to leave. Can you figure that?
I can't believe it.
I know it. Yeah, anyway, I'm not going to go into that. But it was not any immoral failure or anything on my part. Okay? We had a fight about Santa Claus. They wanted to have a Christmas program in the church, and it's all about Santa Claus and nothing to do with Jesus. And I had a little problem with that. So anyway, that was the beginning of the end. Make it short. So I was working in a hospital, maintenance, and I remember painting every day. So I'd been in the ministry ever since I was 18 years old. Here I was about 30 years old. I'd been in music ministry, youth ministry. I remember painting. I guess this was my prayer every day. Lord, if this is where you want to keep me the rest of my life, I'll be content. And I remember, so this church actually contacted me 3 times. We had an association with a director, and he would contact me and said, Brad, this church in Tillamook needs a pastor, but God would not release me. Then I remember on a Wednesday, I was painting. Lord, this is where you want me. The rest of my life, I'll be content. And he spoke to me and he said, Brad, it's time to get back into the ministry. Darrell Evans had already called me twice about coming here. And I didn't have release from the Lord to come, so I told him no. Then when the Lord released me, I'm thinking, Darrell's not going to call again. But on Friday, and see, here's the neat thing too. Cynthia and I were kind of in this together. And she didn't feel released, and I didn't feel released. But when I got back from work on Wednesday and I told her that the Lord told me it was time to get back in the ministry, she said, I felt the same thing. Friday, Daryl gave me a call. And so I came out and I visited, and I don't know if I held revival or if we was just the 12 of us. We met a few times, Sunday morning, Sunday night. Can't remember that. But I knew when I came here, this was where God wanted me. And so we moved from Louisiana. And I'll tell you, when I got here, I was a hurting dude because of my experience with the church in Louisiana. I was a hurting dude. But because of the love of this congregation, there was a lot of healing that took place in my life. And that has continued for the last 26 years. It's amazing what God has done. Okay, well, fast forward. When I got here, we had a little awning. So anyway, Carolyn, Dan, and Teresa are the only three still here. Oh, and Dawn. Okay, she was a teenager. So we had a little awning out here. We didn't have a foyer. We had a little awning. Didn't have a parking lot. I mean, we had gravel out here. And then about 1998, the lady next door said, I would like to sell you 40 feet of my property for $40,000. So it's 200 by 40 feet. That would expand our parking. So we took a loan. We bought that property. And then we were to put, well, then there was a person moving out of these apartments in a U-Haul trailer. And they came around and tried to go under our awning. But they were just a few inches too tall. And they tore our awning off. We got some insurance money. And we contributed, others contributed, and we were able to build this vestibule out there. Incredible. Didn't borrow any money for it, anything. Then we were able to pave this parking lot out here. The volunteer help, didn't have to borrow any money for it. I was at a struck, and that cost thousands, tens of thousands of dollars. And I remember the city wanted us to put in a storm sewer. And I think the lowest bid was like $7,000, and we didn't have $7,000. And so 20 years ago, at that time, 20 years ago, I worked for a sewer contractor, and I learned how to drive a backhoe and that kind of thing. And I was thinking and talking to the Lord about renting a backhoe and doing it myself. And every time I thought about it, the Lord told me, no. And me and him got in an argument. I said, I don't know how we're going to pay for it. We don't have the money to pay for it. And then I made a phone call to a contractor. And he said, you bring the materials and we'll work out a deal. So I got the materials, got it together, we dug the ditch, put it together, filled it in. And to this day, he has never sent us a bill. Isn't that amazing? And we have, not recently, because that's been many years ago, but for the next two or three years, we would contact him. What can we pay you? And he would never take payment. Isn't that amazing? Simply amazing. Way to go, God. God has been in this place all alone. In March of 2013, this church asked me to be a full-time pastor. For 20 years, I was doing bivocational work. Carpentry, counseling, whatever the Lord brought my way. And so in 2013, the church invited me to be the pastor full-time here. And so I agreed to do that. And so God has continued to bless. In 2017, we hired Tom and Renee to do the music. And, you know, we've never missed a payment. God has just been blessing us, and blessing us, and blessing us. And we're not talking just about financial provision. I mean, that's what we've been talking about at the moment, but there have been many who've been touched physically and emotionally. Last year, I'm getting my phone because I've got a voicemail I want you to hear. So last year, March 3rd last year, we had a fella come and preach for me. My mom was in bad health. I went to Mississippi, and I asked Joel Royce to come and speak for me because the Lord told me to. I was in Eugene, Oregon, and I met Joel Royce. He gave his testimony, and the testimony was he has a brain tumor. And the doctor had only given him like 6 months to live. And I said to Joel when I met him there, I said, will you come preach for me in March? And that was in November, and he was supposed to have been dead in January. And I said, I really feel like you're supposed to come preach for me in March. He said, well, if I can. And I was going to be gone. The only reason God wanted him to come here was so that we could pray for him and we could bless him financially. And some of you were here. He gave his testimony. And so while I was getting on a plane in Gulfport, Mississippi, and all of my luggage and phone was going through that belt, he sent me a message. And if you will turn this microphone on, I want to play you this message. Because he came, he prayed, you prayed for him. And on March 12th, he had a message that he left on my phone.
Hey, Brad, this is Joel Royce. I just got done at the oncologist. I got results from my MRI yesterday, and it showed no evidence of tumor in my brain, and that's what your folks are praying for us. Just want to pass on the report to you, and so good news, we're out celebrating with a little Baja Fresh, so I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
That was an awesome time, and I wasn't even here. Yeah. There were like, yeah. He had like 6 kids, if I remember correctly. And that was just 9 days later, he went to the oncologist. And I would continue to call him, how you doing, Joel? Royce? Joel? Is it doing great? Yeah, whatever his name is. Doing great. Doing good. Everything's still clear. I think they're in Hawaii now. Over and over, and over and over and over and over and over, God shows his faithfulness. Isaiah, would you read our focal passages this morning? All 4 of them. First one's in Luke 1:37.
For nothing is impossible.
That's all right, I'll hold it.
For nothing is impossible with God. Jesus looked at them intently and said, "Humanly speaking, it is impossible, but with God everything is possible. Abba, Father," he cried out, "everything is possible for you. I know you can do anything and no one can stop you."
All right. Thank you, Isaiah. So the Luke passage has to do with the angel coming to to Mary and saying to her, "You're going to have a kid." And she says, say that again. "How can I, who never known a man, have a child?" And he said, "Nothing is impossible with God." Would you say that with me? Nothing is impossible with God. Matthew 19, Jesus looked at them intently and said, "Humanly speaking, it's impossible with God. Everything is possible." And this is the story about the rich young ruler. And Jesus had told the disciples, it's hard for a rich man to get into heaven. And the disciples were like, then who can get in heaven? And God said, or Jesus said, humanly speaking, it's impossible, but with God, all things is possible. Mark 14:36, you remember when Jesus was in the garden praying. He said, "God, if you can, Father, if you can, take this cup from me. But not my will, your will be done, because I know everything is possible for you." Then in Job 42:2, "I know that you can do anything, and no one can stop you." Turn to your neighbor and say, "God can do anything." Nothing is impossible with God. And you may be in a situation right now where you think there's an impossible situation. And unless God intervenes, it's a hopeless situation. Did you know God likes to intervene? He likes to show himself. He likes to show off sometimes. He's been showing off at this church for a long time. And I just rejoice in the things that he's doing. Now, last week, I proposed to you. So, we are finally, probate finished. We are purchasing this property. Woo-hoo! Hallelujah. Last week, I proposed to you that perhaps we can raise $50,000 this year to pay on the purchase price. We made a loan for $160,000. But I've got a confession to make. Do you know how you rationalize sometimes and you come up with things in your head? And I tell everybody that has a problem, I say, "Have you prayed about it? What did the Father say?" I confess to you that I didn't pray about it. I rationalized it. And I ask your forgiveness. Will you please forgive me? Thank you. Because that's not what the Father said. Someone approached me on Monday and shared with me what he felt like the Father wanted us to do. And when he spoke it, I knew in my heart that's what we should do. And so, Todd, I'm going to ask, if you will, to come and
Can everybody hear me? So you all know this is no place for me up here in front of all of you. So Brad, I came here two years ago, and through a lot of prayer and a lot of healing with Brad, I've gotten to the point where I'm at. Why I'm being used for this, I don't know. The first meeting we had about the property, there was, I don't know everybody that was here, but I was the only one that said no. You all remember that? I'm the only one that said no. So the second meeting we had, I was a little smarter. This time I didn't raise my hand when he said no. But there was 29 people in here that day that voted on that property. Are those 29 people still here? Okay. So, you remember, this is no place for me. And having to go into his office, because we meet regularly, to go into his office and tell him what God told me. And Sunday morning when he preached, he said about, remember about the little girl? And she had to tell, or Brad had to tell the little girl what the father had told him. And he was like, no, I don't think so, because I don't like the guy anyhow. Well, I sat in his office and wrestled with what God told me to tell him. It's like, I don't want to do it. It's like, you're God, you go ahead and tell him. So we went through, and Brad kept bugging me about what is it I'm supposed to tell him, and I'm like, no, you know, you just talk to God about it. Don't. But what God told me to tell Brad is the borrower is subject to the lender, and we're enslaved to the lending institution. Brad justified the idea of borrowing the money, but that's not what Scripture says. What Scripture says is we are subject to the lender. God does not want this church in debt. We need to buy the piece of property, but we need to do it with our money, not the bank's money. Amen. I'm committing the seed money to start it.
Go ahead.
$5,000. Some of you know that I've been in a long court battle. This is a step of faith. I think the 29 people, this is what came when Brad and I talked about it. What's 29 times 5? $145,000. If everybody puts up the money, we can do this. And we need the money by March 31st?
Yeah.
We need $145,000 by March 31st. Now, why am I being used? I'm the one that was totally against it. I was never against buying the property. It was the business plan that wasn't there. Like, how long are we going to rent the house? How long before we can tear it down? How long? When you're subject to the lender, we can't do any of that until the house is paid for. We need to come up with $145,000 in 31 days?
Yeah.
Y'all better pray. It's going to happen because God's going to make this work, and God's going to put it on your heart. And if he hasn't already, he will. He made me stand up here in front of you today, so.
Amen. Thank you, Tom. Well, because Todd did that, I had to go to the bank and withdraw savings, and because I felt like that's what God wanted me to do. There's a story in Matthew. I'm sorry, in Luke. It's not a story so much. Jesus was observing people putting in money in the offering. He was watching what people were giving. And as he watched the rich people drop in a lot of stuff. Now, I've been told that in the temple there was this. Have you ever put a quarter? You remember, I don't know what you call them, that funnel-like thing. You put a quarter in, it goes, woo, 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 woo. Well, I've heard in the temple there was something like that, so when the rich put in, you could hear all their money go in. Okay? And so, look at me. Look at me. Todd did not share with you what he gave because he wants your praise or accolades. He did it to encourage you. If you know, I mean, I've talked to Todd. His business is not doing that great yet. But the Lord has told him, just hang on. Just hang on. Don't sell. Don't quit. Just hang on. It's hard, isn't it, Todd? This widow lady came by. And she had two coins. All she had. Her name. We call it the widow's mite. I don't know if you can see it, but this is actually a coin from Jesus' time. It's a mite. Okay? And I'll send it around, but I'd like to have it back if you would. So this widow lady, go ahead, Isaiah. And then when you're done, just kind of pass it along. So this widow lady gave all she had. So being a counselor, I want to know why people do what they do. Why do people give all they have? What was it about this widow lady that caused her to give everything? If you knew Jesus was watching, would you be more apt to give more if Jesus was watching? She didn't know Jesus was watching. She had no clue that the God of the universe, the creator of the universe, was watching her. Had no clue. Have you ever done anything for people's accolades, praises? Oh yeah, I think we all have. I don't know that that's why she gave. I don't know that she wanted Jesus' praise. So what was it that caused her to give? And not only that, was Jesus overjoyed with the rich people's gifts? No. But he was overjoyed by her gift because she gave what she could, right? She gave what she could. So what was it that caused this lady to give beyond her means? Was it because she had a tremendous amount of faith? Was it because she had a marvelous love for God? Was it because she had a grateful heart for everything that God had done for her? Was it all the above? I don't know. But what I do know is that I want a heart like hers. That's what I know. Whatever that heart is, that's not stingy and not greedy and not selfish, but's giving and looking out for other people, and such a heart toward the Lord that it really doesn't matter about this life. But what's to come? I very seldom preach on giving in this church. Probably in 25 years, I've done it 4 times. One of the reasons is because you're such a generous church. I didn't tell you how much we took up for the pastor who came and preached on March 3rd of last year. This church took up $2,400 for that pastor. Isn't that incredible? That's just amazing to me. Amazing to me. But when Todd came to my office, I knew that I needed to convey what I felt the Lord was conveying through him. We're going to take an offering here in a minute. If you are not prepared to give, here's what we're going to do. On March 31st, we're going to have a Hallelujah Sunday. Okay? We're going to recount. I want some of you to recount what God has done in your life since you've been at this church. Okay? And also, we're going to shout praises to the Lord because of His bountiful, abundant provision for this property. Okay? So you be here on the 31st because you're going to see a miracle. You're going to witness some testimonies of miracles that have taken place. But do you know what God wants more than He wants your money? He wants your heart. He wants your heart. We talked about in life group this morning, Jacob struggling with God. Right now, some of you are struggling because of the message. But some of you have been struggling for quite some time because you know the Lord wants your heart, and you are not willing to give it to Him. That passage of Scripture says that when the struggle was over with Jacob, that he was victorious over God and man. Have you ever thought about wrestling with God and being victorious? Jacob was saying, "Bless me, bless me, bless me." And God said, "Okay, you're blessed." But the only reason he was able to be blessed by the Lord is because he surrendered. The only way you can be victorious by wrestling God is by saying, "Okay, God, I give up. I give up." We're going to have a time of invitation. Some of you have been wrestling with God for years and years and years and years. Why not let the Lord of the universe, who wants to have a relationship with you, a personal relationship, why don't you let Him in? Why don't you quit struggling and say, God, I give up. I give it all to you. I'm not going to fight you anymore. I yield to you. Father, I come before you today. Lord, I just look back at the way that you have blessed us time after time after time after time. And Lord, who can doubt your faithfulness to this congregation? Who can doubt your faithfulness to this church? You are an amazing, wonderful, all-sufficient God. Lord, there's some here today who've been struggling with you, maybe still are struggling. Lord, I pray that today they could just take a deep breath and let you in. They would stop struggling, stop fighting. Lord, that they would let you be Lord of their life so their struggles can be over. We give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen. Stand together as we sing. The altar is open. You can come and pray, or you can talk to me about what the Lord is visiting with you about.
The outer courts and through the holy place, past the brazen altar, Lord, I want to see your face. Pass me by the crowds of people and the priests who sing their praise. I hunger and for your righteousness, and it's only found one place. Take me into the Holy of Holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take me into the
hearts. give us clean hands again.
Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands, O God. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. O God, let us be a generation that seeks, your face. O God of Jacob, O God, let us be a generation
have our closing date on April 1st. April Fools, we don't need the money.
That'd be awesome.
Wouldn't that be awesome? That is going to be awesome. Yes, yes. Anna. Yes. So some of you have been asking about paying online. You can go to our website, lifechangefellowship.com, and there's a way to pay through PayPal online. So,
woohoo!
So, good. Okay.
Give online.
All right. Thank
Yay.
You. All right. I'm ready to eat.
Amen.
Everybody's ready to eat. So, Alan, would you dismiss us in prayer and bless the food that we're about to partake of?